Hey, this is Anders, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, and welcome, everybody, to a new edition of the Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 95 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The time is 8:24 p.m. Central Time. The date, March 8th, 2018. I will be one of your hosts for this evening. My name is Tim. Hello, how are you? Alongside me, as usual, we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
What's up, guys?
And we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Are you ready for your assignment next week?
I am. I learned how to say bonjour.
That's all you need.
That's like what I got down.
I hear bonjour and headshots will get you pretty much anywhere with Scream. So
yeah, he's Belgian.
It really is like a Disney cartoon. They all say it everywhere. Everywhere you go.
Brett, how do I say goodbye? I feel like this can be important for the end of all my meetings.
Bonsoir? No. I don't know, man. Don't ask me.
Anuj is going to Paris next week, if you couldn't tell. So we are sending him out on the show budget, of course. All expense paid for by the show to correspond with what's going on in the French esports scene.
I wish I was doing that on behalf of Team Envious. Tim, you should put in the call.
Hey, bro. You got his number. Make the call. This is going to be the best episode ever, though. Not only are we going to talk some Counter-Strike, we got FaZe, Fnatic, and Katowice. We're going to talk more so just the teams in general, not so much the event, because that was forever ago now in esports world. We are going to talk a little something different for the podcast sake. We're still going to bring it to esports and video games. We're going to talk about, does violence cause video games? Right? That seems a hot topic here in the States, anyways.
Dude, it's the other way around. No, we got you. We're picking up what you're putting down, Tim.
You got me. And other than that, let's pimp out everything. Of course, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. You can see all of our personal Twitters from there, our Discord links. Everything can be found on the website, tcr.gg. Hit us up. We're in Discord quite a bit. Feel free to join. Don't be scared if you see us in general. Say what's up. Love to talk esports with our listeners. Everyone knows this. But let's get into the show, gentlemen, shall we? Because Katowice wrapped up last week. Again, I don't want to get too far into the minutia of what happened just because it seemed like forever ago. Just real quick, Cloud9 and NiP got 5th, 6th. That's kind of disappointing for Cloud9, but good for NiP, right? You guys will take a 6th place.
Totally.
I mean,
I was going to say, what are the expectations for NiP? Like, seriously, going into these tournaments.
Beat the teams you're supposed to beat and play, at least keep up with the big boys. Whether you win or not, you know, that's a different story. But you should beat the teams you're supposed to beat, most importantly.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's where they ended up. Is honestly my expectation for this team. And you know, maybe that's good enough in today's Counter-Strike. I mean, it's all about just getting to the main stage, right? You know, anybody can win it. You know, Tim and I were talking about Cloud9 when they won the major. They had to win 3 games in a row just to get to the main stage in groups. And then look what happened. So, you know, yeah, I mean, just get there. So if they can consistently get there, I'll be happy. But
I will say a footnote about Cloud9, and this is not an excuse coming from a Cloud9 fan on their recent performance or anything like that, but I think I saw like Skadoodle tweet out saying like they're going home. Yeah, this was like a week ago or whatever. So they are home for like the first time in like 9 weeks or something ridiculous like that. Like they've been on the road pretty much, I think he said like 7 out of 9 weeks they've been gone. So that just, I think that speaks volumes to just, I mean, we've talked about on the show before, right? Just how ridiculous the competitive scene is for CSGO when it comes to their schedule, right? And you wonder why some of these teams just look off in some tournaments. Well, yeah, I'm exhausted after 8 hours of work coming home playing video games, you know? They're out for 9 weeks at a time, not in their beds, not, you know, in their natural environment. It's
hard for us to feel sorry for them because they play video games for a living. But yeah, I mean, I've traveled I've traveled out of country and jet lag is real. Whoa. Like, you know, yeah, I know. Humble brag.
Wow.
But I know, man, I'm a world traveler. But yeah, I mean, it takes a toll on you for sure.
I thought ultimately it was a good performance by them, though. I wouldn't be disappointed if I were them. I mean, it looked bad going in. I think when we had the last show, they had just lost to Liquid 2-0,
right.
I think, possibly at that point. And then they were headed into SK best of three, and it was like, okay, you know, maybe these guys are just on a lull right after a major high. But they played well and beat SK 2-1, which I think was a really good win for them. Because I know that, you know, obviously they lost in the first round of the playoffs. But even looking back at the FaZe matchup, taking cash and then losing Inferno the way they did, right? It was at overtime, and they really should have won it in the first overtime and then just kind of lost it going into the second one.
Well, I mean, FaZe,
they looked
FaZe
good,
had to,
you know?
You forgot the one important thing, though, with that is FaZe had to cheat, so.
The round.
They, you know, all of a sudden, Guardian's like, oh no, my computer is broken. Let's restart the round that we lost. And, you know, Cloud9, being the stand up Americans that they are, said, okay, we'll replay the round. Now,
it wasn't up to them, it was the admins.
Now, willing to know, we'll let the judges decide that, okay?
Judges did.
But, I, you know, it's that was a really good game, all jokes aside there. So, yeah, so FaZe obviously beat Cloud9. They beat Astralis. They are in the finals. Fnatic ended up actually beating FaZe in the upper bracket finals. That forced them to go and take some buys of the quarterfinals into playoffs, where they ended up beating Team Liquid, which we mentioned last show. No reason to get too far into them, but Team Liquid is looking pretty darn good with their full-time roster. And then you have it. FaZe and Fnatic, a rematch of the upper bracket finals in the grand finals, which is
2-0 in the upper bracket.
Yeah.
You know, like the Fnatic won that 2-0 and looked pretty dominant in those
16-11 on Inferno and 16-8 on Cash. So it's like, it wasn't even like a close 2-0, right? It's those are pretty decisive wins. So now you have FaZe and Fnatic again, and it's really a tale of two teams here in the finals, which is kind of what I wanted to get your boys' opinion on. As far as who do you want to start with first? You want to start with Fnatic and how they've been looking good lately? Is Fnatic back to where the organization expects they should be?
If I were them, I'd be feeling pretty damn good. I mean, not only this tournament win, it was just the way they performed in the big moments and the players that stepped up, right? It was so great to see JW and Flesha playing at like 2014, 15, 16 Fnatic. You know, I mean, it was like incredible to watch them play at such a high level, and for Flesha to stand out the way he did in such clutch moments, it really brought back a lot of nostalgia. And I was like not a Fnatic hater in the sense when they were doing well, but I'm always kind of rooting for the underdog, right? And I want to see teams step up and upset teams, and they were a team you definitely rooted against and wanted to see them get upset so bad because they were so dominant for so long. So it was cool to see them on the other end of that and being the team to show that, you know, they can make it back to, you know, to Everest basically. And what a series we got. It went the full five, which lasted 27 hours.
Dude, I remember. So I did not watch this live. Okay, so I just, some days you just can't have the time. And I went to the movies during the first map. This had to have been like almost towards the end of the first map. Went to the movies, came out, and like it was still going on. That's like pretty much where I think they were in like map 4. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is why I watch the VODs. Because I cannot sit there for 5 hours and watch these games. I understand people like best of fives, right? Because it's kind of hard to argue at the end of the day who's the better team after
a
best of five.
You kind of have to for a championship game.
Yeah, I mean, this was, you know, IEM's big one. So I'm not disagreeing with that. But I'm just saying, like, tell your loved ones goodbye beforehand because you might not see them for the rest of the day.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that two of the maps went to OT. So
no. I mean, anything that could have stretched that on definitely did.
But it's good theater.
It is, it is. And I think I agree with Anuj where I was never a huge fan of Fnatic in the sense of they were kind of, to me, like the Yankees, right? Where
yeah, we talked about it.
It's kind of cool to see a dynasty, but at the same time, it's also cool to see them lose. I will say, though, I do like to see like people, I mean, especially like JW and Flusha, who have been part of it the whole time through, and I guess you could even throw Crims in there, to see them come back, right? Because I do, like, this isn't... When teams win, you can kind of sometimes get a feeling, you know, where it's like, okay, this was a one-and-done type of tournament win. I don't have that feeling with Fnatic, though.
And yeah.
It comes to, I think, the way they played.
And Flusha and Crims, correct me if I'm wrong, but they were always the outcasts when it came to, like, roster moves, right? Like, when Olaf moved or when, you know, Olaf stayed with Fnatic and new guys came on, they were the ones to leave, right? And then, you know, they come back and Olaf leaves and they're still kind of those, outcasts.
Flusha was always part of it.
Was Flusha always tied
to... He did go to Godsent.
They all went to Godsent.
Yeah.
Well, so, not Crims, but yeah. JW and Flusha
Crims went to Godsent. All three of them did.
Didn't he also? Yeah. Oh, and then I guess Dennis and Olaf stayed back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the second swap, it was basically the opposite, where Dennis and Olaf left.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, just, I guess, getting away from the finals, like, I think I really like Counter-Strike, the current state of Counter-Strike. And I know it's probably not a popular opinion, but, you know, one of my favorite sports is hockey. Like, and I love hockey playoffs because if you get in the playoffs, you have a chance to win, right? Like an 8 seed can upset a 1 seed and it's not really a huge deal. And that's Counter-Strike at the moment. Like any team can win. I like that there's not just one dominant team out there. It makes for a good tournament, makes for good theater. There's not a whole lot of blowouts. And we saw a lot of good games this tournament too. So what do you guys think? Like it's,
I kind of agree with that where I slightly would differ. Is I still think we have a dominant team. I still think Fnatic.
Oh.
I mean, I still think FaZe, I'm sorry, is a dominant team. I mean, their results show that they are one of the best teams in the world consistently. They're second or third in every tournament, right? And they've won a couple in between. So they're always right there. Where their struggle buses is coming through in some of these like really big tournaments, right? The majors. We've seen that happen in the majors now a couple of times. Katowice is like a huge tournament. ESL, you know, Katowice and then also Cologne are both considered major-like tournaments.
Right.
And this is where they're falling short. And so I still think they're a dominant team, but they're, you know, right on the picture the Utah Jazz
but
playing.
But it's the roster that they have, right? That's why. You know,
you expect them to win every time,
I mean,
right, with that roster?
If you want to compare them to like a traditional sports, I would say Cleveland, right? Where Cleveland doesn't win the championships, they might get second, and then all of a sudden it's like the world is on fire and what's going to happen with that roster and everything. Because when they added Olaf and Guardian back in August of last year, and this is after they added Nico earlier in the year, like that was the team. Like no one thought they were going to lose. And now, yeah, second and third is not bad, but for that roster...
It's like having four LeBrons, right?
Yeah, like
you know, not one. You got like four LeBrons on this
team.
And
I'm not saying they need to win every tournament, right? But you would expect them to win more than what they have. Like they won
like in every other tournament kind of deal.
Like, yeah, I mean they won ECS, right? Which that I mean, you know, they beat Mouse Sports in it. So ECS is kind of like ESL, where I feel like not always the better teams will make the finals, just with how the season and the playoffs and everything are structured, right? So it's just, to more Anuja's point, it's these major tournaments where every team is at. It just seems like they do not know how to play in the finals.
If you look at their losses, it takes the best performance from that opposing team to beat FaZe, right? It's not like you're seeing average games and like FaZe looks really bad. No, you're seeing like multiple overtime matches. You saw it in the Cloud9 FaZe matchup. I guess, I mean, we could all probably without a doubt say that was Cloud9's best performance we've ever seen out of the starting five roster. And it had to be that way for them to beat FaZe. Fnatic, same thing. In this best of five, you'd have to say it was some of the... I mean, when have we seen like vintage Fnatic like this? I can't really think of a time until, you know, really this five-game series that we just saw. So they're losing.
Look
some
at the last
really
time we talked about
games.
Fnatic on the podcast. It was probably during their last roster moves. So that, I mean, that gives you an idea.
So what FaZe is doing is I agree they're not winning the big tournaments, but they're winning 90% of their games still at the end of the day. So I still think they're a dominant team. They're just a dominant team that can't figure out how to get over this hurdle. Once they, I think, get a major under their belt, if they get a major under their belt, you're going to, I think, see the steamroll a little bit. You know, these guys can catch fire. I don't think this is like a time where people should freak out enough to where you're thinking roster anything like roster change, you know?
No, what are you gonna change? Honestly, I don't think that's the case at all, right? Like, I don't want to get it misconception here that I'm saying that there should be a roster change, because
who would you
replace, right?
Your IGL? I mean, that's the only person, and it's like, then okay, you're losing more than just a player. You're losing an IGL, and Kerrigan's shown to be brilliant. Kerrigan's first hurdle was everyone was like, oh, he can't make it to the finals. He can't get out of the semis. He's a semis guy. Well, now he's making it to the finals, right? So he's getting one step closer, and I don't think they're... I mean, I don't think anybody believes they're that far away.
No.
Yeah, and the guys seem to like him too. So, I mean, you got four... like superstar egos on a team who like their IGL. I mean, he's doing something right. I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't be shy about saying, coming out and saying that he's not doing a very good job.
When you look at it though, I think one of the more frustrating things if you were a FaZe fan is that it isn't just one person though. You know, it's just the team. It's simple as that. You can't say it's Nico's fault, which I know that was kind of the cool thing to say last week is like, man, Nico just doesn't perform. The dude is a 1.21 rating on HLTV. You know, it's not one person, right? It's not Nico's fault. It's not Olaf Meister's. Yes, they all have their own fair share of poor games, but it's as a team. They can't close these out together. So you can't just look at one person's performance and be like, ah, this is so bad they need to be kicked off the team.
Yeah, really, Olaf had the worst tournament probably out of any of them. I mean, Olaf and Rain both had some pretty bad moments in this tournament. Nico really only disappeared on one map, and it was kind of their whole team. But on, you know, Overpass, he was 8-20. I think that's like super uncharacteristic with the ADR of like 35. That's embarrassing. Like, you could get that in nade damage each round if you're you know, in the right spot at the right time type thing. So they all kind of contributed to them losing different maps. But yeah, it's never just one of them that stands out as the bad player.
Which on that map, you know, I'd figure like they would be a definite favorite with, you know, one of the best ops in the world and Guardian.
Yeah, I mean, on any map, Guardian should be capable of pretty much holding down, you know, a site on CT side.
I mean, we saw him at the Major where he single-handedly kept them in the finals against Cloud9 because of his op. Right,
he was MVP of the Major.
He went
like
he did have a good 1v5 on Overpass. That was pretty neat. I highly recommend anybody that, you know, didn't get to watch at least watch that. That was pretty awesome.
Had they won the Major, was there like even a more obvious pick than Guardian to get MVP? Like, had they beat Cloud9? I can't even think of who would have been second.
To me, he was still he still should have been the MVP, even in the loss, because in that Major, he was the only reason that FaZe wasn't completely blown out in that finals. He carried them to overtime. He carried them to wins. It was insane.
Even in this, did y'all see he had a 1v5? And excuse me for not remembering what map it was on. But
the one I just said.
Oh, was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the 1v5 on that round. Oh, my. That map, it was incredible, dude. I mean, one of the best plays you'll see in Counter-Strike.
So, I don't know. Going forward, I think that I feel good about the Fnatic. Or I feel good about Fnatic and how they've been playing. Golden seems to be fitting really well into IGLing. JW, even though he had the most depressing quote of the week, which is saying it just didn't feel as good not having Olaf Meister there. Did he really say that? I saw the tweet with him like being quoted, but
Yeah, he said it would have felt better if Olaf was there. Like, and I think it's just probably weird to play against him and see him on the other end after they had so much success together. And I'm sure it would have been sweet if he was there, but I don't think they feel bad about beating him either.
No.
No.
They probably feel good going all the way to the bank.
Yeah, I know, right?
But I do want to move on from Katowice. I mean, you have major tournaments coming up, and we'll get into a little bit more in e-news, but like you have WESG coming up, next week. So we'll talk a little bit about that just in e-news and everything. But I did want to switch gears and get away so much from specifically one esports and just talk about esports and gaming and all that in general. So I would, put on our adult hats here, gentlemen, and get a little bit more serious with the discussion. So, as everyone knows, right, whenever there's a recent shooting, especially here in America, there's always like a handful of go-to things to say, right? It's either guns, it's either movies and music, or video games. And then you could throw in mental health there, but that's kind of an afterthought with most people. It's just we're mainly looking at excuses, right? So, obviously, with recent shootings coming up, President Trump came out and said, well, it's all these violent video games that are causing it. So that always kickstarted, which I think is the fastest turnaround Congress has ever done. And they met today to discuss that. Anuj, please be my adult and tell me what that means.
Yeah, so...
Yes, believe me, I am not the one to follow any of this.
So Donald Trump, he basically hosted a meeting today at the White House, and it was to discuss violent video game exposure and like the correlation to aggression and desensitization in children. So that was like a quote from Jake Tapper. That's basically how they identified what the meeting was about, right?
Okay.
So this meeting was a mix of members of Congress. You had Marco Rubio there. Two other Republican representatives were there as well, and then a bunch of executives from the video game industry. Now, what's kind of unique is in this discussion to discuss, like, how video games lead to aggression or potentially are a cause of a lot of these acts of violence that we see. They didn't have one scientist in the whole meeting. So you would think, you'd have some
type of science or psychology or something, statistics in the background?
Yeah, like something to kind of help understand the science behind it, which I feel would be super important since you're saying that this causes it. But yeah, they had their meeting today, and really from what the early thoughts are is, Trump feels that there is a correlation between the two. And so that's obviously going to kickstart.
And it's not just him, though. A lot of, there is a party there. And this is why I want to talk about it here just real quick on our show, just so I can kind of connect it to esports before people are wondering, what are we talking about, right? Because the more and more esports gets into mainstream America, right? And I'm speaking from an American perspective here, because obviously I don't know how Europeans feel about it, right? Or really anywhere else in the world for that matter. But I do know how the majority, or I say majority, some Americans feel, especially the older generations, if you have a parent and you have a kid, say maybe 12 years old, 13, right? Younger, where the parent is still somewhat monitoring what they're watching, what they're consuming. If all of a sudden they turn on the TV and see a Counter-Strike tournament and that's what they're into, right? And maybe the parents never really cared to pay attention about it prior to now because it's always on their computer. But now it's on TV, and you're seeing, as a parent, people shooting each other. There are some games that might be blood. Counter-Strike isn't really, I wouldn't say, is a gory game, but it does depict violence. It does depict shooting. Okay, I think we can all be realist and say people shooting people is violent, right? That's not an argument. That's pretty much true. You're going to have the finger pointed at esports eventually. It hasn't really happened yet, but quote me on this. Like, it's going to happen. Eventually, you're going to have a party saying, why are we allowing this on our TVs to have terrorists blowing up bombs, and this is entertainment for the kids? So that's my whole premise.
Yeah, that's a slippery slope, though, because...
Well,
like,
isn't all of this, though? That's the whole argument of anything causes violence is a slippery slope.
Yeah, just and getting outside of even outside of video games, like you watch shows like Discovery ID, where I mean it's pretty much like showing housewives how to kill their husbands and get away with it without, you know, it's like, I mean, if you're going to attack video games, you're going to have to attack, you know, other cable television and just like, you know, murder mysteries and what have you. I mean, it's definitely a slope they don't want to go down. I don't think.
And when you say they, though, who's they? As far as like politicians?
Yeah, I mean, more so like just conservatives. Yeah, conservatives, you know, NRA. It's not a road they want to go. I mean, it's a lot broader than video games, in my opinion.
I would find it really weird if the NRA or conservatives in general wanted to push the agenda that guns in video games are more dangerous than guns in real life, right? So how can we argue that like guns in video games are causing us to use guns in real life to go shoot down 50 people at a school? Like, it just seems odd to me that we have the problem in front of us, and it's just kind of a way to derail the issue, I feel, and kind of get away from it. Because if you really look at the correlation, and like I went through this, I really wanted to try and study this a little bit before we talked about it, and I wrote down some like really interesting facts and just from looking at different articles, and they have these studies that show at the time when they did this study, there was 41 school shootings at the time. And after studying those individuals that did these shootings, it was found that only 5 out of the 41, expressed any interest in violent video games, which is like significantly lower than the average of teenage boys, you know, in this 15 to 18 age range, when 85% of those people in that age range reported playing violent video games. So the correlation and the statistics don't show that it is making people more aggressive. What it's actually shown is that it's making it, video games tends to have a calming effect on people. It's shown that with people with even attention deficit disorder, it's been like a proven fact that video games can have a very calming effect on an individual, and that it almost is the opposite reaction of what they're saying. And look at us, you know, it causes you to like, you can be more interactive with people. It can cause people to kind of come out of their shell that maybe don't do it in the real world, like they would be more comfortable doing online. So the studies just show something different than what they're trying to push right now.
Yeah. And my problem is it's so soon after, you know, a national, you know, really is a national tragedy. I mean, 17 kids died, but it just felt lazy to me. Like, you know, Trump comes out and says, you know, video game violence and glorification must be stopped. It's creating monsters. And then there's another quote he had where it's hard to believe at least a percentage, maybe it's a small percentage of children, doesn't have a negative impact, you know, in their thought process, but you know, these video games are really violent. He's bringing, there's no substance it's having this meeting.
And every time the argument comes out, it's always really out of thin air, right? It's just kind of like, we need something, so let's bring this up because
anything not to talk about guns, guns.
Exactly. And that's where
guns
it is.
Or mental illness or anything like here. Now, if I can play devil's advocate, and I do somewhat truly, I mean, I do truly believe this, so I'm not a psychologist. I don't practice it or anything, but my degree is in behavior analysis, so I do have some type of background, right? Like, I worked in a living center for mental illness. So, on that note, though, there is something to be said about if you play violent video games, if you watch violent movies, if, you know, whatever, connect the dots, you can be influenced. Anything can influence you. And I think that's how they need to really, and I say they, the people who want to try to make a case of, hey, maybe we should just put more regulations on it, right? They need to approach it in a different way of not saying video games cause violence, end of story, done, right? That's such a blanket statement. If you want, even like, you want to say violent video games causes shootings, well, what is violence, right? Because, you know, when I was younger, I'd play Barbie Horse Adventure with my sister, and you could die because logs would hit you and kill you. So are you saying, like, that's too violent because we depicted Barbie dying? You know what I'm saying? So it's a slippery slope to bring it back to there, but anything can really cause influence.
I get it.
If you want to bring in like a mental illness, right? You're talking to someone who's already unstable, you know, a little loose in the head, right? Maybe early signs of schizophrenia, okay? Paranoia. Those are like two big things that you could probably see in anybody who actually just kills someone out of cold blood, right? That's probably like a common trend. I could see where if they're playing, I don't know, Grand Theft Auto or whatever, you know, pick one of these games that are always brought up. I could see where maybe they get an idea on how to kill someone, right? Like, hey, this worked in this game. And you see stories like that where I remember a long time ago, a kid in China set one of his classmates on fire and someone asked why he did it. And he said it's because he wanted to be a pyromage like in World of Warcraft, right? So it can influence. I don't think that's too far of a point to make, right? That's like, I don't feel like that's treasony towards video games, but it's not the cause.
Would there be a correlation in other ways than to just by, like, you could use anything in video games and use GTA, for example, like you just said. Why aren't we seeing an uptick in carjackings right after GTA is released? Like, why does it only come back to it when, oh, there was a shooting, so now potentially video games cause violence? Well, is there like an uptick in carjackings every time GTA, you know, 4 and 5
come
out? No,
but again, I think if, and again, I'm really only talking about like the weak-minded people, right? Like the ones who really get influenced over things. I could see them playing a GTA and maybe thinking, hey, I'm going to go steal a car. But again, people never make that argument, right? When someone sees a car stolen, you don't think, ah, it's because he plays video games. It's just on the national scale where people blame video games for violence because it's just such a blanket statement. But I mean, think like if you're watching TV and you see a food commercial, right? You might be influenced to go to that. That's the whole, I mean, that's, but again, I'm not saying being influenced is bad, right? I'm just saying anything can influence anyone. It's not a reason, though, to try to shut something down or make a blanket statement of this causes this, right? What causes it is, I mean, weak-minded, that's probably a terrible phrase to say, but weak-minded...
I was gonna ask you, is that the medical term?
No, it's not the medical term, but weak-minded people or, dementia or schizophrenia, all that. Video games does not cause someone to be schizophrenic, right? Now, if you're schizophrenic, video games might influence you to do something stupid, but guess what? So could watching a movie, listening to music. There's literally nothing that could influence them.
There's ratings on all of this
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly.
So it should be up to the parent to like say, oh, this is an adult-rated game. We see it on all the game covers.
And that's right. And that's you know, my biggest point there, Anuj, you know, more to your point, like maybe this is just kind of a weird generational gap, you know, a weird time because, you know, our parents didn't play, you know, these video games. We do. I have a 4-year-old. I let him watch Overwatch. Like, I'm monitoring him. I know what type of video games are out there. I know what I'm going to keep him away from. And, you know, maybe there's just weird generational gap where they really don't know much about the industry and,
you
know, the different types of games. No, Tim, I would not let him play with
you. But that's not because of the game.
He stays away from Uncle Tim, okay? I've told him that. He understands that.
I could teach him
so many things. He's probably playing Fortnite right now.
No, but, you know, I let him play Rocket League. He watches, you know, Overwatch with me. And, you know, I think that's fine. I mean, but I know what to keep him away from and shelter him from. This generation, maybe they're oblivious. And then, you know, rather than trying to understand, you know, video games and what's appropriate, they're just like, I don't want to understand this. All of them are bad. It's all bad. Let's attack.
Right. It has nothing to do with how their mental health is, right? The last time I checked, if you hear voices in your head, it's not because you know, play Counter-Strike or anything like that. Counter-Strike didn't all of a sudden trigger Satan telling you to go shoot up a school, right? Or whatever. Obviously, I don't think that's ever been like a thing, but you get my point, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of... The issue is, and I think this is the thing that drives me insane, right? Is the people who are doing this, I mean, you can throw Donald Trump in there, or anybody, right? Any parent even going up there, Are they doing this because they truly believe that video games causes violence? Because that's probably, if you're going to make that claim, you're either going to need hard numbers or you're going to have to at least say, hey, I've played these games and I felt aggression afterwards. And I don't think Donald Trump has played any game. I don't see him doing any actual research himself to even have this type of opinion.
The good news for us is the U.S. legal system is on our side because, like, in 2011, the Supreme Court struck down a California law that banned the sale of violent video games to children. And it was, like, a majority decision, and I don't remember what it was, but it was pretty lopsided for them even saying it. And there was also, like, a psychology group that came out and said that they were, like, a media psychology group that advised, you know, reporters and such to stop announcing that video games and suggesting that there was a connection between violence and video games in real life. So I feel like we're okay. I just feel like this is more of a distraction to get away from the issue really at hand.
It's pocket sand. It's the government's pocket sand to the gun discussion, you know?
Yeah, look, I'm a gun owner and I'm a proud gun owner. I
guess we should have started with that, right? Is that I'm literally, like, next week going to go buy a gun just for fun. You know, newsflash, we live in Texas, so it's not that weird. I've literally had dinner with a gun on the table. It's not that weird to us. Nuge owns guns. Brett doesn't, but
my father-in-law owns probably 75, you know, different guns, and we've gone shooting, and it's a fun thing to do. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, if they're going to say taking an AR-15 off the street – because it's basically a weapon of mass destruction in its own right, that's not going to bother me. You know, like, I'm not going to sit here and say it shouldn't happen. There's certain guns that are for recreational sports, and there's certain guns that aren't.
And I'm not going to argue the point. I've shot guns. Guns are fun to shoot at a range. It's just the and Tim and I were talking about this today, where it's the gun buying process. It's like, I want to buy a pistol. Okay, which one do you want? Here.
I'm going to walk into that gun show and 15 minutes later walk out with a gun and no one's going to, they're just going to be like, hey, by the way, are you crazy? No, sir, I'm not. Oh, well, okay, here you go. Thanks, man.
Yeah, like, what people need to remember is when the Second Amendment was written, they had, like, muskets, people. Okay? Yeah. Guys, it took them, like, 10 minutes to load one bullet, you know? So I don't know if you really would have told them, hey, you can shoot 100 rounds in 5 seconds, like, that's okay to have on the street. And so,
I mean, let's be real. At least here in Texas, it's easier for a 16-year-old to go buy a gun than it is to technically before he should ever be allowed to play Call of Duty, which is rated 17 and over, right? Like, if everything worked out the way it is by law right now, he shouldn't be able to go to GameStop, and GameStop should be able to deny him, saying, hey, you need someone here 17 or older to buy you this video game. But he could go into a gun store or a gun show and probably walk out of there with a gun. And that's perfectly legal at this point to do that. So even if you want to try to argue, like, the chicken or the egg type of deal, in reality, he could probably have weapons that could do mass destruction before he should even legally, because there's already things in place to stop people from buying M-rated games, which is, I mean, if you're going to argue violent games, it's going to be 17 and up, which they shouldn't even be allowed to play. But sure enough, guess what? The last time I went on Call of Duty, I think I was the only one over 17 in a room.
You're not wrong.
So it's just the irony that the same people who are sitting here saying we need to get rid of video games to because it's causing violence are the same people. This is a blanket statement, and I understand the irony that I'm trying to argue a blanket statement with a blanket statement. Okay, I get that. But it's the same people that are willing to take their kids hunting, right? And to me, hunting is very foreign. I feel like you having your kid shoot a living animal for no reason and then gut it would probably be doing more mental damage than him playing Call of Duty or Counter-Strike or anything like a video game.
But again, even that goes back to the point of the parents, right? It depends on what you're teaching them in that lesson, whether it's hunting or
killing
them, playing video games, yeah. And you monitoring and educating them on that as well, right? So yeah, if you're just gonna, like, for the first time, your kid's never seen a gun, never seen you shoot anything, and you take him out into the woods and be like, okay, kill that deer. Yeah, that's probably a little weird, you know?
But we're not going hunting, we're going killing, son.
Like, that's not how it usually happens, you know? Like, the parents that I know and the friends that I've grown up with, and I've been hunting myself several times, like, we were well educated on it, and we understood what we were doing and why we were doing it, and we were the ones that made the decision to do what we did, right? Like, it wasn't like our parents were like, hey, go do this. And so, same thing in video games. Your parents should educate you on it, and then
there's
feel like
so
it,
many
there's
factors.
Already stuff out there that can that are already solutions to this problem.
Clearly, I mean, the three of us, right? Clearly, the three of us are on the side of no, video games don't cause violence, and it's a ridiculous claim. And I think it's a ridiculous claim to say one thing causes violence, because I really do think it takes a special, awful mixture to really cause someone mm-hmm. to go on a mass shooting, right? It is not one thing. It is not one mental health issue or one bad movie, right? And I say bad, like one mm-hmm. violent movie. No one is seriously that just, well, he seemed so healthy before and then he played, you know, Call of Duty and he just got Satan in his eyes, right? No one really mm-hmm. does that. It's like, I mean, look at this recent shooting in Florida, right? Supposedly, the guy or the kid who did it, both his parents died. He was in a foster home. He was already the weird kid at school that everyone kind of assumed he was going to do the school shooting. All of this, but no, it's video games that causes it, right? There are other factors here to point to. Now,
100 other.
Maybe if he just grew up in a violent household in general, okay. And maybe he played video games, okay. But again, to say, well, I mean, even like to, if you wanted to make up numbers, to say, well, you know, 90% of school shootings, the shooter plays video games. Okay, well, I could probably count on, you know, maybe two hands of the kids in my high school who didn't play video games growing up.
Like, all of them are suspects.
We are from a generation that plays video games. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's... The video games to us is our newspaper. We wake up and we play them. We get home and we play them. That's just what we do. So to try to say that as a statistics of, well, they play them, so therefore that's the reason, that seems a bit cheap.
So I wrote down something funny that made me think of you guys, and I wanted to share it with y'all because it gave me a good laugh, because I really thought of our group. And Brett, I think you'll completely agree with me when you hear this. Or tell me, who do some of these remind you of, right? Okay. And so I got this from Regis University. It was like a study that this Bruce Bushman did. He has like 30 years of research on this subject and professor of communication and psychology. So anyways, this is what he said. His research concluded that playing violent video games can have the following negative effects on kids or just children that play games. Increased aggressive thoughts. Okay. Definitely seen that out of some of us. Angry feelings. Tim, I think you'll like this next term. Psychological arousal, which is increased heart rate and increased blood pressure.
Oh, okay.
Aggressive behavior, depending on like
a lot more than video games causes psychological arousal, if you know what I'm saying.
Cold marriage, am I right?
Reduced feelings of empathy for others. I think there's a couple in there we could probably agree with, you know? But again, none of these come to the fact that it causes those types of acts of violence that they, you know, that
and
they
again,
say it does.
I agree with all those. Like after one game of Fortnite, I'm ready to swing at someone, right? But again, it's such a temporary thing. There's just so much to it, right? Yes, I think as adults, we can all agree that video games do cause some type of emotion, and whether that emotion is aggression or not, there are a lot of chill games out there, right? There are games that I play to become in a certain mood, you know? If everyone's on and they were like, hey, man, you want to play a game of Counter-Strike? I'm like, you know what, dude? No, I just want to chill today. it's because that game will frustrate me and it will make me angry at some point, you know. But at the same time, to say that it's the games that are causing kids to go buy a gun, to buy ammunition, then load that gun, and then strategically, you know, map out how they want to murder other students, or, you know, we're talking about kids. Even they're correlating this to adults, right? The Vegas shooter, you know, to say that a game is causing him to plan out all of that, right? You're going to map out how you're going to knock out a window of a hotel and line up and shoot and injure more than 500 people at a concert in Las Vegas. And then to only say it's because he's played video games. Starting in point A, which is him playing, you know, video games, to point B, shooting at thousands of people, injuring 500. The only thing that caused him to do that in between is playing video games. That's it. Yeah. No mental health issue, nothing. It's just video games. That's a ridiculous argument. It
just feels so forced. And it's kind of weird. It's a weird thought. Like NRA, you know, this organization, they, you know, one of their big platforms is we're just protecting our Second Amendment right. You know, this is our Second Amendment right, but they're attacking video games, which would in fact take away a First Amendment right. So we'll sacrifice some rights in our Second Amendment or First Amendment rights to protect a Second Amendment right. It's just, it's lazy. It's not thinking outside the box. It's a quick attack, and it's frustrating. It's making me angry.
I just wonder on how many of those people, though, who were there today speaking to Congress about the violence in video games and everything, do they truly believe that it's just video games, or the majority of it is video games causing these violent acts, or are they really just doing it as a scapegoat or a distraction because they're pro-guns or they have money involved with another, you know, NRA or whatever, right? The weapon industry is a $1 billion industry. If they have money involved or something, right? Like, do you really believe this, or are you just saying this to distract from something that might be a bigger issue here? Mm-hmm. But like I said, I can also respect people's thoughts and ideas and decisions on if they truly believe, right? Like,
yeah.
I would love to have a conversation with a parent who truly believes that violent video games is solely what is causing the aggression in their kids, right? I would love to have that conversation. And I like I said earlier, I could see where it influences, right? I could see where they get ideas, right? Because that's just life. You get ideas from things that you do. But mm-hmm. again, it's such a
the whole thing today statement. Kind of the whole thing today just felt like a hoax. Like, look, if I was Marco Rubio and I was getting $3.5 million from the NRA, which is what he's received so far from them in charitable donations, I'd probably find something else to be pissed at too.
It's
you know, it's, I'll go ahead and tell you, video games are terrible for you.
And you know what's funny though is the same generation that's saying that it's video games causing violence is the same generation that had to defend their music back in the 70s and 80s for not causing violence. It's the same people now who are like, no, it's not music anymore. It wasn't our metal music back in the day. It wasn't rap music that caused this. But nope, now it's definitely video games. Video games is definitely doing it. It's like, okay, I see where you're coming from. I wonder what
flavor of the decade.
Yeah, I wonder when we're older, what's going to cause violence to us.
Maybe we can talk about that next episode.
I'll tell you what, video games don't cause it. They don't cause violence, but early access video games do. If you want to come at me and say early access games that have been out for 4 years and still call themselves early access, but they're in season 3 and they charge me $20 for a skin, I'm looking at you, Fortnite. That might cause violence, but not.
The way to solve that problem is just to send your thoughts and prayers, Tim.
Hashtag thoughts and prayers. TCR, thoughts and prayers. So I don't know. I feel like we kind of ended up just like the Congress meeting today, and we kind of ended up nowhere in our thoughts. But
you know where we stand.
Yes. Yeah. And I really hope, you know, if you're a listener and you have opinions, obviously you can always hit us up on Twitter. We'll always respond there. In our Discord, you can hit us up on that in the general chat or wherever. if you do want to have the discussion, but maybe you don't want your thoughts aloud so everyone can talk, you know, there on our website, tcr.gg, there is like a contact me kind of email that goes to all of us. We all have access to it. And then, or just, you know, message us on Twitter or Discord alone, right? Like if you have one thing to say. Brett, he's the only parent here. So, you know, he has opinions. Anuj is the only brown person here. So he might have opinions. He might have a minority opinion.
And knowledge.
And, you know, I'm just a middle-class white guy with a solid
runs
mustache.
A podcast,
yeah,
man.
I mean, I'm your generic white guy. So if you have opinions, you know, I really would love to hear them, because this is a type of discussion that I really think everyone has an opinion on, right? There might be some people here yelling at us listening to this saying that we're all wrong. But I would love to hear why, right?
And that's okay if it's constructive.
For real, dude. Like I would love to be proven wrong. You know, if you say video games do cause violence and you show numbers or whatever, by all means, let's make them harder to buy. You know, but Valve is still going to put Counter-Strike for sale every Steam sale. So what can you do? You know, but that was a good talk, gentlemen. It was nice becoming. It's always nice adulting once in a while.
It's outside the box. Something we don't do a lot.
But something we do every episode is e-news. So let's get into some e-news, shall we? Actually, quite a bit to get to. In Overwatch League news, you did have quite a bit. There were a handful of roster moves. Dallas Fuel sign OGE to tank.
It's a move they had to make. It's, in my opinion, been their weakest link in stage two.
We'll see. I think overall it's just their teamwork. They just don't seem to put it together. But obviously, at this point, they have
don't
to try
attack
something.
Coach. That might. That might get you
no. This is esports. We don't attack coaches here. Speaking of coaches, though, because definitely London Spitfire and Shanghai will drop their coach. London Spitfire ended up dropping Bishop, which is really weird to me. That had to have been like a personal thing. That
yeah, didn't they say it was a player? Like the players wanted him gone.
I mean, that's the only reason, because they're in first place, and he's still looking for another team. So it really is the players just didn't like him, so they kicked him off. And then Shanghai ended up dropping U4. I forgot who tweeted it. I think it was Overbuff ended up tweeting after that, saying like, still no word on the reason why, but can't wait to see why Shanghai felt the need to drop their coach. And I'm like, I could think of a few.
0-40, dude.
Right. It's your over.
Yeah. I could think of a winless reason on why they maybe let go of their coach there. In Dota, you have the Bucharest Major that is going on right now. The quarterfinals are starting tomorrow with VGJ Thunder taking on TNC Pro Team and Newbie taking on Secret. You've got on Saturday, I believe, is when the rest of the games start, is Evil Genius versus Team Liquid and Virtus Bro taking on Optic Gaming. So you have that. That's been a pretty good major. I will say this, though. My hot Dota opinion. Don't like the new major system. I definitely liked it more when there were like 3 or 4 majors a year. This year is like when they're doing like the 11 majors, you know? Don't like it as much. I feel like it. I don't. Like they literally had a major like a week or two ago. So
Counter-Strike's just dying for two. Give us three. Yeah.
These have 11, and I think each one has a $1 million pool. So, I mean, they just did Katowice 2 weeks ago. So, I don't know. It's just
a little weird.
You're slapping major on everything, and it's just too much.
Yeah.
In Call of Duty, you did have... let me start with this. So, CWL Atlanta starts this weekend, tomorrow. And yesterday, you had Team Epsilon announcing that they had to drop out of the tournament due to one of their players, Nathan. Nathan ended up deciding, just didn't want to do it. Just didn't want to go. What's the background here, Anuj?
Yeah, I mean, it's just weird. It's weird all the way around. There's not much more to it. Like they waited on this dude to finally turn 18 because of CWL's new rulings where you have to be 18 to play in the events. So he had stopped playing for a while, then he turned 18, came back. 2 days before the event, the team is waiting at the airport, and they're calling this dude, like, where are you? Like, we're, like, getting ready to board. And he's like, not today.
Nah.
Just don't want to do this.
You know what? I woke up and thought, no.
He left him hanging, and now they've had to drop out of CWL Atlanta. And granted, they've had poor performances, like in the last CWL events. Like, they just did not do a good job. So, who knows? I don't think they were going to do much in this event. But still, I mean, you're supposed to be a professional. Like, this is, like, no excuse.
And Epsilon is, like, a big organization. That's not, like...
Yeah, it's not, like, a baby little team here. Even then, there's no excuse at any level on that, but... Lightning Pandas took their spot, and I'm sure they'll be happy to do so and would love to travel immediately.
So you want to ever kiss your pro gaming career goodbye? Nathan Boom. Just showed you how. I read somewhere that it's because he was saying the team was just toxic and he didn't like it, but come on, dude. You are 2 days...
But at the same time, you're a professional.
You're a professional. You're 2 days. Play out this weekend and then say you're done. Right? You purposely waited 2 days before to do this to them because you knew what it was going to cause. Now you had Activision scrambling to try to fill in a spot. Lightning Panda, I know they just won, like, the stage one of Canada. So, I mean, they're a good team, but come on, bro. Then you also had, though, they also announced today, actually, the new Call of Duty will be going back to Black Ops. So Black Ops 4 was announced, expected to probably be released around October. I think that's kind of normally when they all come out.
Yeah, so it actually is kind of strange because this is the first time in the last 8 years or so that it did not release in November. So it's coming out a month earlier, and maybe a slap in the face to Sledgehammer a little bit. But yeah, first time... that anyone can remember that it's coming out. One less month. And to be honest, the boots on the ground has not turned out to be nearly as... Not to say that it needs jetpacks, but people were dying for this game to come out from the Call of Duty side. And it's out, and I don't think anybody seems overly pleased with it. I know we've enjoyed playing it, though. And
yeah, I really have enjoyed... World War II. Like I said, this is my thing with Call of Duty, though. It's hard for me to get really into it because it's like the reason I enjoyed Call of Duty World War II is because I haven't bought the last three Call of Duties, you know?
Yeah.
I just can't buy it every year and be like, oh boy, this is... Oh, now you want me to spend another 60 on your season pass? Oh, well, cool. Nope, new pro scene. Oh, okay, that one's gone. Thanks, bye.
A fun discussion sometime would be to discuss, like, how Call of Duty or how we feel Call of Duty could actually... take market share in the esports world, because I think them having a new game every year is really what's killing the franchise.
Yep. Well, I agree. I think that would be really good. It would be really cool to have someone from their scene on too to discuss it, because I know just from, like, Reddit and Twitter, there is a lot of people in that scene that really wish Activision would care. You know, it just seems like they think they can release the game. They're the most popular game out on console, and that will carry them through. But it's like, they really, when you look at how big Call of Duty is, right? And how, like, on a scale of esports, their scene is so small.
It's just nothing. It's
like, you're pulling 20,000 of a stream. It's like...
It's the bottom of the big boys, right?
It really is. Like... But for how the player base, though, you think it'd be huge.
Yeah, and Treyarch's the one making Black Ops 4, and people have always had... fantastic things to say about Treyarch. This would be a good moment for them to maybe make it like a 2-3 year window, possibly. Yep.
In other news, you got Nintendo announced that Super Smash Brothers is coming to the Switch. I think it's a whole new one. I don't think it's like they're moving, you know, any of the older ones over there. I think it's a brand new Super Smash Brothers. No idea on release date or anything like that, but we'll see what's up with that. I'm holding my... Again, I mean, it's cool, right? It'll probably make me want to buy a Switch, but until the pro scene officially adopts one of these new Super Smash Brothers to be better than Melee, that's another pro scene that's going to just eat itself from the inside, because it's like, you don't have... You're splitting your scene in half. There are people that just are diehard Melee fans, so it doesn't really... Well, I don't know. That's a wait and see type of deal. You know, this isn't really E! News. We should have brought it up in Katowice. I'm going to bring it up now, though, just because it's too good to not. Did you gentlemen see the young couple express their love at Katowice?
Yes.
I don't know if it was real or not.
I think it was real.
But apparently, like, they're, one is a streamer and the other one's a YouTuber. Basically, these two people were caught on a live stream.
Pulling for their team.
Arousing one another.
Oh.
And
that too.
The real story here is not them grasperbating each other in the stands, but the dude who is just sitting right next to them.
Oh my gosh. He really
doing
scooted up.
Everything
so
he can to just not look. Like, just please, if I know her, maybe it's not happening. I'll tell you what, okay? I'm 27 years old. I'm an adult. I don't have to be cool. If you do that next to me, I'm gonna say something.
Uh-huh.
Like I'm gonna have to be like, bro, I'm
dude,
I appreciate
you will catch me on an IRL stream so fast if that was happening
like,
next to me.
I'm swinging at your throat if you are doing that next to me. I'm just like, take it someplace else.
That causes violence.
On a side note, we've said arousal twice on this show.
Masturbation causes violence. That should be Congress's next stance right there.
That could be an example of video games causing love.
There you go. See, video games bringing
just
people
bringing
together.
People together. Yeah,
also
you
shows you what length people are willing to go to get a few followers and donations, right?
I see what you did there.
And then also, if I told you guys that there is a new pro league in the Battle Royale scene, would that interest you?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then. Okay. Well, that
about yeah,
totally. Yeah. We're all in.
All
these
right.
Words.
All right. Good, good.
PR.
Now, let's see if this keeps your attention. What if I told you it was H1Z1?
Okay, I'm out.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Anuj, what if I told you, because it seems like you're still just on the edge of your seat with this. What if I told you it's going to be based in Las Vegas, okay? And there's 15 teams involved, some big ones. You got like Cloud9, CLG, Echo Fox, Epsilon,
okay.
Luminosity.
Okay. I'm back in, Tim.
DSM.
I'm back in.
That's right. We got Tempo Storm. The big dogs are coming to H1Z1 again.
All
right,
I'm in.
And it's going to be on Facebook.
I'm out. I'm out again. I'm done.
I'm out.
I would only be excited if this is like the new car mode.
Dude.
Auto Royale.
Auto Royale.
And it's starting April 1st, and then from there it's going to be every Wednesday going forward.
Well, look, with 15 franchises, it looks like they found the remaining like 30 people that play the game. So,
I don't understand. They have to be...
We don't talk about shots on this episode.
They have to... Yeah, let's be... Let's keep it sensitive, all right?
My bad, guys. I'm sorry.
That was actually good, Brett. I liked it.
They have to be fluffing up those numbers for, like, that one broadcast they did on the CW, like, a year or two ago so much to still be trying to get money. And this is, like, backed by Caesar Entertainment or whatever. I'm assuming the people who run the casinos. It's pretty unreal and kind of at this point impressive that H1Z1 is still being able to dupe people into thinking that that game's going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's 3 out of 3 right now.
You are the third most popular game, so you're in last place when it comes to popular BR games.
Mm-hmm.
And I can officially put it to bed when Islands of Nine come out because that's going to attract probably more people than H1Z1 if I had to imagine. Then you want to do, I guess, a live studio in Las Vegas, which that's always kind of a risky business in Vegas, right? We've seen esports kind of fail and prosper, but, you know. But then, on top of all that, you're already taking a struggling game that doesn't get enough views on Twitch. You're going to put it on Facebook. Over and under 1,200 views.
Hmm.
For the first one, I'll say over. Because
for the first one.
That,
yeah. After that, average viewer base over and under 1,200.
I would go with the under for, I feel pretty confident the initial.
that first one,
you want to talk about a game that if they crack down on age limit, That game would be dead. that community is so bad.
And like you said, Tim, the competition is just going to get harder for them now because there's all these rumors of there's a potential Battle Royale game coming out within Call of Duty. Dying Light has announced one. Islands of Nine has announced it. Paladins has announced some sort of Battlegrounds. Europa, Maverick. I mean, there's one after another coming out right now. And so
Red Dead Redemption, when that finally comes out, is going to have one. So you're looking at a Western.
Well, I give H1 credit for stealing money because they got it, obviously, backing behind them.
That was seriously the last part. That was the last thing I thought I was going to see announced was an H1Z1 Pro League, let alone all these organizations that are buying into it.
I am looking forward to reading Twitter to see the pros within that league.
Oh my God. You know they're so bitter about PUBG and Fortnite, though.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And last thing in E news, this has been the longest E news ever. I've actually ran the bed twice, so we'll get this over with. Is Optic Gaming disbands their Halo roster and they are bowing out of the Halo scene. This is after they won the 2017 World Championship. So
just feels sad. You know, it was such a sad to see Halo dying off.
The other day on the esports subreddit, some guy asked, what got you into esports? And I wrote a paragraph or two talking about how MLG and Halo is just will always hold a special place in my heart. But dude, 343 Studio completely ruined the game. When they went away from what made Halo great. And between that and Call of Duty, it's just, when Halo 6 comes out and they start adding again multiplayer and split screen, maybe you'll see a resurgence, but they really do just need to take a step back. But Optic Gaming dropping out probably doesn't bode well for it right now.
Nope.
But what can you do? What can you do? As I'm trying to delay, as my computer is frozen. Let's go. There we go. Okay. That is what you call a professional podcast. We are The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. It was a little different this time around. I said it was going to be a little different. Nonetheless, it was fun. Let us know on Twitter, at The Center Ring, or on our website, tcr.gg. You can get up on Discord and all that fun social media that the kids are doing, causing violence. And let us know what you thought of this episode. Again, follow us on Twitter, retweet the show, favorite it, do whatever you got to do to make sure we live on into perpetuity. We will be back next week. At least Brett and I will be, as Anuj is in Europe covering the European esports scene. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I'm sure some Overwatch League. And, you know, we'll figure it out.
Rocket League updates.
Just so much Rocket League and Overwatch. League. Brett is finally having his time to shine.
That's so geek, guys.
So much. Anyways, I thank you guys again for listening. If you skipped around or you listened all the way through, I love you all the same. For Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see you next time.